If you have your Bibles again, go back to where we were last week, Psalm 118. I'm going to read a few verses from 118, from verse 15. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The hand of the Lord does valiantly. That is the reason why you hear him shout. The reason why you hear that joyful shouting is because God has done a work of salvation, a work of deliverance. You will see in previous verses, he explained that nations surrounded me at a point in time. People pushed me violently so that I was falling, but God helped me. For that reason, he said, God has become my strength, my song, and my salvation. So that's why you hear the sound or the singing of joyful shouting and salvation in the tents of the righteous. He said, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. For that reason, I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. He now said in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, that is the gate of righteousness. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, that is the Lord, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. That is, you have become my deliverer. That's what he was trying to say. That is, when I was in adversity, when I was in trouble, when things were going the way that was not pleasant to my flesh, that is, when life did not give me things that I needed, all right, when there were challenges everywhere, when I called upon the Lord, he delivered me. Therefore, I say, God has become my salvation. You are getting the point there. All right, that is, anytime a man is in trouble, what he should do is to call upon the Lord. Because it said in verse 21, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. I hope you are following the point there. That is, I called to the Lord. That's why I am giving him thanks now. Now, we read that last week and we discussed a number of things. But I just want to highlight a few points before I go into what I want to talk about today. Now, what I wanted to note again is that we established that there are two kinds of gates in life. And when we say gates, we mean the pathway by which you enter into something that you desire to have. That's what we mean by gate. And Jesus said that the way by which you enter is what will determine what you find. If we just, for completeness, quickly go back to Matthew chapter 7 that we read from verse 13. It said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For this gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Notice this again. That is, anything you want in life, there is a way to get it. And the difference, I say again, or the fact about life is that God offers you a gate called the gate of righteousness, and Satan offers you a gate, which therefore we can call the gate of unrighteousness. Are you getting my point? That is, when you want to achieve something in life, and our very good example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you read the story of the temptation of Jesus Christ, he said, bow to me, and I will give you all these kingdoms of men. These kingdoms of the world, they have been delivered to me. If you bow to me, I will give them to you. And that was in exact opposition to what God wanted a man to do. And that was why Jesus gave the word of God to Satan. He said, this is what God has said. You will serve the Lord your God alone. He's the only one you will bow to. He's the only one you will worship. And for anybody to say, do it this other way, then he is opening to you the gate of unrighteousness. Let me explain this again. The gate is not going to enter into something else. It is supposed to enter into the same thing. That is, he was supposed to give him the dominion over the earth. Are you following my point? And that dominion, when he has received it, what will he get for receiving that dominion? That is what the gate you enter there through will decide for you. Whether you will get satisfaction or you will get destruction. That is, a man can enter into wealth in life. There are many ways to enter into wealth. Many, many ways. The easiest one of them all is for you to take a gun. Maybe not the easiest, but one of the commonest ones that young boys find very easy. Take a gun, go and we leave a few guys. And then you make a lot of money. In fact, this I was telling you about the kings when we're coming back. I saw my friend, a policeman in Benin. I went to see him, collect some things from him. He was telling me stories. One of them was one young man, an armed robber, who decided to go and rob one night. And then, unfortunately for him, a few days later, the guy he robbed And the driver of the car went to his madam to go and see the madam in the hospital where she was as a result of the incident of the robbery, and saw the young man outside the hospital. They robbed them late at night, but the guy, because that guy gave him a thorough beating, so he recognized him very well. Which is, this is the interesting part. The armed robber said the previous night he dreamt that his time was up. Because that guy saw him, just quickly called the rapid response squad of the police, and they came and grabbed the boy. And he said, because he knew that his time was up, he told them there was no need to harass him or anything. No problem. He'll just bring all the boys. He just brought the phone, started calling all his friends. Say, Operation D, Operation D, Operation D. He said, this one, you know what he told the boys? That this one, authentic information, US dollars. Ah! All of them were arriving one by one into the hands of the police. At the end of the day, 11 boys had been collected. And of course, you know the rest of the story. They entered into destruction. That is, they wanted to enter wealth. But Jesus said, if you enter by the broad gate, you will meet destruction. Are you following my point? That is, what you get from what you have received, is it destruction or you enter into life? What is life? Life is satisfaction. Being able to be a blessing to the generations around you. That is what life is. For you to eat and drink and your soul will rejoice and say, God indeed has been good to me. What decides whether you get that or not is how you entered into that place. Are you following my point? You know, that's why one of the things I learned long ago, and let me say it to you again. I said it as a young man. One thing you must never do is deceive a woman so that she can marry you or even try to impress her. Do you understand my point? Let her call you dry, that all she wants. The fact is, you must just be honest and show yourself to be exactly the way you are. Because, like we are going to see again today, the way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. If you have to break your head, break your neck, break your back to make a young woman happy so that she will agree to marry you, then you've bought job for the rest of life. Are you getting my point? Yes. You see, you shouldn't, don't let her have surprises. Are you getting my point? Don't shock her with anything. If you are not rich, you are not rich. Make it clear that all I have is dreams and vision and prophecies over my head, and I'm walking according to the word of God. And if she believes that word, believe me, eventually, this is a fact, this is the way life is, eventually the word becomes flesh. Are you getting my point? What you believe, what you have accepted as a prophetic word from God, will one day become flesh. The person who will be a blessing to you for the rest of your life, who you don't have to do anything special to make her happy that she married you, is one that is, will agree with that word from the beginning. And that is what is called the wife of thy youth. Are you getting my point? That is, how do you enter into marriage decides what you get out of it. Are you following me? If you go through deception, you borrowing a car to go and visit, you know you don't have a car. What's wrong with people's self? She will find out one day. Are you getting my point? In fact, it's better to trek there and park your car at home. So the surprise will be that you're missing and you get this S500. I just didn't want to shock you. That's why I didn't bring it the first time. That's a better one than to go and borrow one. Then finally, you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, because the reason is that the way you get a result is the way you sustain it. What you will get out of those things you have acquired in life or that place you have reached, whether you will get destruction or get satisfaction, is decided by the gate through which you entered into it. You understand that? Now, those are the things we discussed last week. I just needed to emphasize it again. Life always offers you two different gates. You have to learn the gate of righteousness and enter through it. For emphasis again, the reason is because the way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. I was preaching along this line on Wednesday in church, and I told them, listen, if because of 100,000 naira or 200,000 naira now you have in a bank, you can't sleep properly, then you should know that God will never make you rich because he knows you will die by the time he gives you 1 billion naira. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, God will not, he won't just bother because it's risky. He knows he's going to kill you. So right now, you have to learn to possess your soul. You get my point? With rest. Then God will know that this man can sustain great wealth. You are getting my point? If I title that message, learn the proper way now. It's now when you are yet broke that you should learn how to handle plenty of wealth. Because a time will come when your heart will be overwhelmed. There will be so much happening, you will not be able to settle down to think about how to handle it. So before it begins to happen, settle down. It's good to fantasize. Are you getting my point? Settle down and say, God, if you were to give me 100 million naira now, what am I going to do? Lie down, cross your leg on the bed, and be thinking about it. No, it's very good. You know, it's very, very good. Just start exercising your soul.
that God, if I just to, you know, as I was just, I'm just going now, if this business has started now, what if suddenly we start making sales of 5 billion naira every month? What am I going to do? Lie down there, cross your legs. So I will employ this guy, I will employ this person, I will employ these people, I will put them like this. Yes, get a piece of paper, exercise your soul. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Start exercising yourself. Don't let things happen and you know, fall on you suddenly. Are you getting my point? And it will count for your training. Let me explain that again. It will count for your training. Joseph was primarily trained in the house of Potiphar and in the house and in prison. But they were training. You had to be trained. Those things that you do, Paul said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them and your profiting will appear to many. It will count for your training. It's been found out, I've heard about it a lot of times, that a lot of American prisoners of war in Vietnam, one of the ways by which they kept their sanity was to keep on playing golf in their heads, playing basketball in their heads. And when they came out, they were far better golf players than a lot of the people they met outside. Are you getting my point? Mike Murdoch reported an experiment where they took basketball players in school, college boys, two groups. A group, they went, they were shooting ball every time. Another group, they laid down and were meditating on shooting the balls. Are you following my point? Then later on, when they now gathered everybody together, they found out that those who, all they did was meditate, performed as well as those who really practically did it. Exercise your soul. You follow my point? Right now that nobody is giving you 100 million naira to manage, it's a good time to lie because you can't lose the money. It's in your soul. You understand? Nobody can steal it. You can't make a bad investment at that particular point in time. Anytime you read, you see, I told you before, information you get, they decide your character. They decide how you do things. Keep on reading. Settle down. Okay, no, I'm not going to buy these banks. Yes, no, this is not good. This is not good investment. So I'm going to put this money. No, fixed deposits. No. Okay, maybe while I'm thinking, I'll put the money here. Settle down every day. Are you getting my point? If you're a preacher like me, relax and say, if Kingdom World Ministries was to get 10 million naira now, what are we going to do with it? All right, we'll do this, do that, or we'll do this. Then our seminars here, we start, we'll buy cameras like this and start doing VCDs. You keep on. So the day 10 million naira comes, you've already prepared in your heart for it. Don't let 1419 will not come with one emergency idea and then you will fall for it. Because before the thing came, your heart was prepared. You are following my point. Learn the proper things now before pressure comes on you. Enjoy it. Look, when you wake up in the morning, part of your prayer and giving thanks and study, cross your leg and say, okay, when I become the governor of Enugu State, now, this is how we're going to do taxation. Start planning it. You follow my point? When I enter the House of Senate, and when I become a senator, okay, I should become the head of this committee. We'll be in charge of this. Now, these are the kind of laws we'll be working on. Start meditating upon it. Are you getting my point? A friend of mine told me something some time ago. There were ideas he had, all right? Then suddenly one day, one of these DFID kind of jobs, you know, these foreign aid jobs, they opened, you know, as a doctor. So he went in there, applied for it. So how will you do this? These are things he had planned in his heart before. He said he just brought out his computer, put it down, interview, opened his computer, and began to show the man. The man said, no need for further discussion. Obviously, you know what you are doing. Are you following my point? The man began to show him there, okay, what we'll do is on his computer, things that he never really had to do, but he had been planning to do. The day you go for interview, you will be surprised. That's how God does things. Go and read Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. You will see how he got the job that now made him very, very famous. You know, I've told you, nobody loves beggars. You have never seen a beggar and told him, good morning, sir. Do you understand my point? What you always do, no matter how generous you are, if a man keeps begging from you all the time, at a point in time, when he calls, you don't take the call. You know, you have to discipline yourself to press that okay button. Are you following my point? That, you know, every time, when you go out, you go for interview, please listen to it, young men, young women. Stop looking like a beggar, that without this job, you know, I'm dead. You go there looking very hungry. They know you have just come to take from them. Believe me, they won't give it to you. Nobody wants liability in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mike Murdoch said it would be pervert for a man to pursue pain. Listen, you have your business. You open your shop. You see that, you know what I mean? You are interviewing people. A man comes to you and says, sir, I need this job badly. Say, why? See, my father has been ill. I've been sick a bit. I've not eaten for 3 days. And then, by the time he finishes, you are such a righteous and holy man. You will dip hand in his pocket, give him money to go and feed himself, feed his family, and tell him next he has just lost the job. But what do you do? Look, you know, that's why I don't understand all these multiple applications. Your application is in V-Mobile. Your application is in Glo. Those ones, I see the same thing, self. I mean that it's in STB, UBA. At the same time, it's in Nigeria Breweries. At the same time, it's in Shell. It's in UNEC. All over the place. You've not even asked yourself, what exactly is the job I want to go and do in the place I am going to? Let us assume you're a computer expert, and that's what you want to do in all these places. I understand. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. I don't mean you can't look for a job in different establishments. But I don't mean that you are looking for a job as a bank officer. At the same time, you are hoping they will employ in the IT department of University of Nigeria Enugu campus to be their computer manager. At the same time, you are in Nigeria Breweries hoping that they will make you distribution manager. You should ask yourself that, am I all right? You are getting what I'm trying to say. Ask yourself, what exactly can I contribute? The giver is always the winner. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. That is the scripture. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, when you get to a place, let people be, you know, they should feel the thing you are going to impact into their system. You know, this giving thing, we must learn it though. It's just that the only way we have learned it is how to drop money in offering baskets. That is not the only way. That's very good. That is a precious way. But there is this part of being a giver all the time. Please read that tract again if you haven't read it. Cheerful Giver. Please, if you don't have hard copies here, go to the internet, download a copy. Print it for yourself and be reading it. Read it so many times until it enters into your soul. Because the giver is always the winner. Are you following what I'm trying to say? The giver is always the winner. You go for an interview, let giving be radiating out of your spirit. So the man knows that if we don't hire this man, our competitor gets him, we have lost. You have to understand, every salary they pay you is an investment. They expect to get returns. So when he gives you money, it's because he believes if he sows into your life, he will reap abundant services. So you must show him that you are fertile ground. You are getting what I'm saying? If the man pays you money to go for a course, that's why you sign bond first. That this course you are going, when you have learned, you must use it to work for us for the next 2 years. Are you agreeing? If he say no, he sends somebody else who's ready to agree. He's not a church. You know, he's an entrepreneur. He's an investor. He's a businessman. Every dime he drops must double when it's coming back. So if you show him that you are fertile ground, then the man will employ you. Are you following my point? You know, I went into all of this by telling you to exercise your soul. If this is the kind, if you like to be a bank teller and you work your way up in the banking industry, it's a very good job. I've never said it's not a good job. Are you getting my point? Yeah, a lot of people, the only reason why they like it is because the people pay well. You understand what I'm saying? But if that's what you really feel like doing. I told you before that when my wife was working in UB, she had a colleague. Every time I enter these guys, their own side section of the office, and I meet him there, the paper I see him read, it's in the newspaper, is Financial Standard. Are you getting my point? Business Times. Those are the things he reads. So when the guy was going to do an MSc in economics, I knew that he wasn't doing it just to get a pay rise. The guy was inside the stream of the calling of his soul. You are getting what I'm saying? The guy, so he was always, you know, picking little things here and there. The day man goes for an interview, and maybe along the line, they mention something about the stock market, and they ask him. And the guy starts giving them the information he has read over the last 1 year from just reading Financial Standard, Business Times, and stuff like that. The boss will say, this guy really knows what he's doing. You quickly employ him. Because this guy can go and make money for us. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he learned all those things when he was not under pressure. You are following me? I remember those days when we were learning as a young training pathologist, when we were learning to do autopsies. I remember one of my chiefs, the guy was incredibly fast. And to everybody was a story to tell. That guy is so fast. But for me, he wasn't. Once he wants to, the few times he will come into that place, I leave what I'm doing and rush to his table to go and see what he's doing. Are you following my point? Then I remember one particular day, I sat down in one clinic in the evening, where I was working for them in the evening. And I laid down. I remember I reclined on one soft chair in the consulting room. And I was thinking about some methods this guy uses, how to improve on this. So I got to the office the next day and told one of my colleagues, I found out how to do this. The guy was like, How did you do that? As I was thinking last night, he said, at night? So this man, you carry this thing away from here in your head? And I look at it, yes. It's my job. I'm training. I'm learning something here. Do I have to tell you that by the time we were also, when we reached that rank of that guy, I also became a story to tell. This guy is very fast. This guy is very fast. The day I went for my exam, because our college, West African College of Physicians, they do the exams in Ibadan for my finals. When I went for one of the first practical sessions, one of the attendants, they opened his mouth. He said, you have finished? I said, okay, I took this long because this is an examination. So I have to do everything absolutely, infinitely, properly. You understand what I'm saying? I said, under normal circumstances, I don't take up to a fraction of this time. Are you following my point? Because before the time of trouble comes, I have exercised my mind. You are getting my point. And whatever fills your heart will come out of your mouth spontaneously. All this stammering when you go for interview is because you don't know anything. All right, I don't know why we went into all of that, but I'm just explaining something here. Okay, yes, practicing these gates, even when the pressure is not there, learn these things early. That's the way it is. Now, let me just conclude what I wanted to review there before I go into the main thing I want to say today. And that's the fact, again, that there are many gates in life, and the one you enter into anything through, whether it's a job you want, the way you get that job will decide whether you'll be happy in it or you will not be happy in it. I don't have to say this, but amongst believers, but let's just say it for completeness sake. If you have to date the boss to get his job, you are in trouble. Are you getting my point? The only way you get promotion is to date the next boss. That is the way it is. The way you get the result is the way you sustain it. You are following my point? There are times, you have to understand this. You do things, I'm going to talk about that today. Okay, that's the main thing I want to talk about. You do things that are difficult as a pioneer of what will happen tomorrow to make life easier for you. Today, you are taking the hard way. You know, we discussed that, I think, a bit last week. That is, to step into prosperity at the beginning times, if you choose the difficult way, which we said is the narrow gate, it scratches you as you are passing through it. After that time, you see, because now you have entered into life. After that, everything becomes easy. You are following what I'm trying to say here. So those are the things we examined from that scripture. And today I want to talk about, now I don't know how to title it, but what I really want to talk about is what I call my own version of the miracle of seed faith. The way I understand seed faith. You see, if you see around the body of Christ, you see, a lot of times people say that when you want something in life, you give so you can get back. I'm saying this all the time. I don't accept that. If you want something in life, you know what the Bible says? Ask. It's there in the Bible. You have not because you ask not. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you because the Father loves you. Jesus said, "How all of you being fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly Father will give to them that ask him." Let me say this again. I don't have to tell you that I'm not saying Christians should not be givers. I'm not saying that. I am saying God said, "I, the Lord, I test the mind. I search the heart before I reward the man for the gift that he gave." And selfishness begets nothing with God. It's called the killing of a seed. Paul said, if I give even my whole body to be burned, and it is not a matter of love, he said, and I have not love, that's what he said literally, he said, I profit nothing. But God said, I judge the intention of the heart. I check whether you were giving was motivated by love. If it was motivated by your need, I do not bless it. If it was motivated by love, I will bless it abundantly. And what I want to explain today is the reason why God blesses your giving. Now, what has that got to do with what we're talking about? I want to explain a number of principles. Remember what we said, that there are gates in life. What I want to discuss actually along from now on are those gates you take that are the gates of righteousness to life. Are you getting my point? That is, if you enter through this gate, your business will prosper. Now, notice one thing we said before. Things that spring up quickly are not usually of God. When God does things, He said, the remnant of the house of Judah will first take root downwards before they bear fruit upwards. In the earlier part of your life, in your endeavors, what God gives you is the chance to take root downwards, to establish yourself. You are following my point. In all those times, you are taking root downwards. You are managing 2,000 naira, and you are using the kind of efficiency that people would have thought you were discussing 20 million naira. It's called taking root downwards. You are showing your ability to account on things as sales as low as 20,000 naira. You are following my point? You are taking root downwards. God will not impose upon you suddenly the sales of 2 billion. When look, he will grow you up gradually. You get my point? It's just that the curve of God is like a earlier part is almost flat. You know, it begins to increase rapidly. Then it gets to a point, the increment is so fast that instead of going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, it starts going from 3 to 5, then 5 to 8, then 8 to 20, then 20 to 100, then 100 to 5,000, then 5,000 to 500 million. Are you getting my point? That's how the curve of God goes. But the earlier part takes time. God gives you the chance to plant your roots downwards. He doesn't give you rapid prosperity. Are you following my point? It's not out of wickedness. It's because even wealth is a matter of responsibility. You have to be trained in responsibility. You understand my point? You go step by step, gradually. You are getting that point. You have to understand this. So what God does is, he starts you out. Maybe it's business, an endeavor in life, whatever it is. Things begin slowly. In those earlier days, you are taking root downward, like I've explained, so that later you can bear fruit upwards. I gave a few examples. My pastor in Lagos, he preached in the same church for 8 years, and the people were just enough at the end of 8 years to fill the church for one service. Then in 1 year, he went from one service to four services. Do you get what I'm saying? And people who didn't know him before then suddenly knew him, you know, after that. So as far as we were concerned, he started last year. So the story is that this man went from one service in one church to four services in 1 year. They forget that he did one service in that same church for 8 years. Our most famous example, T.D. Jakes, he is not an overnight success. He's just an overnight explosion in our eyes. Before you heard of him for the first time, he'd been preaching and pastoring for more than 12 years. Are you getting my point? Taking root downwards. I came to realize as a person, my personal experience, most of the things I learned that I taught from, and I still teach till now, I learned many years when I wasn't teaching anybody. The foundation was laid then. There's a reason I'm explaining this. I have a few books, notebooks that I wrote with my hand. When there was nobody to listen to me, you follow what I'm saying? I was writing down, like this statement you hear me say all the time. The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. It was an understanding I got around 1997. I wrote it in that book. I usually date them. Are you following my point? A lot of the messages I preach now, foundations for life that I teach now, is why sitting down and meditating. Ask my wife, I will write her letter to say, how are you? And the letter will come to 20 pages. There's a book I've written, it's not yet published, titled Choices. The Key to Destiny was a letter to my wife. It's a book now. The Righteousness of God was an article for a magazine. Prophesy was an article for the same magazine. Your Future Has Been Prepared. It was an article for the same magazine. For your information, which magazine? My alumni, you know, when you come for alumni convention, you know, the Light of Christ, we call it. That we just share amongst ourselves. I was editor and a major contributor for a long time. A lot of the articles I contributed then are now mini books. Taking root downwards. Didn't have a platform, didn't have a pulpit, there was not on radio, but I was learning this thing and I was putting them down. You are following my point? That was the time the root was going downwards. Now, I'm talking about different gates. I've just said this to explain the fact that while you are taking root downwards, having entered through the gate of God, there are people who go to learn gimmicks on how to grow a church fast. That's not the right the way. It's not the gate of righteousness. Because they cannot understand why you should pastor in the church for 8 years and you did not outgrow the building 10 times. They will tell you stories that the year winners came to Lagos, it started with 2,000 at the beginning of 1 year, that maybe a few years after they arrived, and by the end of the year they were 20,000. They will not tell you. that there was a time Bishop told the story, he too was preaching and church was not growing. And he told everybody, no more eating in this house until we find out why the church is not growing. And they prayed and prayed until, according to him, if you stay with me, your mouth will bend until things begin to work. You will pray. He said he was like, God, what is going on? You know, I could understand his passion when he was saying that. Because if you feel anointed, you expect that when you speak, the wall should collapse. You speak, the wall just like, he said, nothing's happening. He said, then a word, that was a word for his own situation. God said, just keep planting the seeds. And then I will give the increase. I'm adding my own words to it. And for him, the way to plant the seeds was to start teaching breakthrough seminars. I don't know what I call it breakthrough that time, but then every month, seminar. He kept on teaching. He taught and taught. Then one day, news began to spread. Something's happening here. Something's happening here. Are you getting my point? He had now reached the point in which growth now came very rapidly. But those who want to go and you think you can go and touch his trousers and tap anointing, then go somewhere. Listen to me. Listen. They came to Jesus Christ and said, grant that we should sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. He said, you know the gates of righteousness to that? You will drink the same cup that I'm about to drink. He said, are you able? He said, why not? He said, good, that cup is yours. Remember the way Herod finished James? You're getting the point? He said, however, having qualified for it, it's not even me. It is God that gives the increase. You are getting these principles. So the man thinks he can now go and touch the trousers of Bishop Oyedepo and give him an offering and tap into his grace. Now, look, amongst the men that blessed my life so much, three of them I named are pivotal in each phase of my training in the word of God and in the work of the ministry. He's number two. You are getting my point? But I always realized one thing. I was thinking about it the other day. Somebody was preaching. I don't even know where. He said that when you focus on something, you are transformed into that thing. That's from the scriptures. Are you getting my point? But something came to my mind. I said, before you can be transformed, you must have the potential for transformation. Let me explain. No matter how much your dog hangs with you, he can never talk. You know why? He's a dog. Dog is even far. Monkey. Carry the monkey. Carry him to class. Put him for Bible study. Talk near the monkey. He will never talk. Why? He doesn't have the potential. I'm talking about being transformed. Yes, those impartation of graces occur, but only to people that already have been prepared by God to receive them. That is, this is how God does it. After he has taken your route downwards, the Englishman said there is a final straw that breaks the camel's back. And God said, this is what you will do, and your rain will begin to pour. Go and do this, and you tap a grace. Are you getting my point? It is not everybody that just going to say, I just tap this grace. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. They wanted to tap the grace of Jesus. He said, hey, wait. Have you drank the cup? He said, no, yeah, go and drink it first. You won't come and tap grace like that. It doesn't work like that. You are getting my principle? That the blessings of God, they go like that. Initially, appear slow. That's why I like quoting Bishop Oyedepo in that regard. He said, the blessing of God comes at a time it will not become a curse. Even though it is slow, it is sure. Are you following what I'm saying? Because they are blessings that God gives you and erects you. That's why he doesn't give some of the things that people are asking him for. He told James and John, he said, you don't know what you are asking for. What he was saying, of course, they knew what they wanted to sit on the right and on the left. But he said, no, that is not what I mean by knowledge. You don't know what it entails. You don't know what you will even have to carry as responsibilities if you have to sit there. You don't get the point that Joseph slept better as a prisoner than as a prime minister. You know that. Once they say time out in the prison, everybody goes to sleep. Until morning, nobody wakes up. Prime ministers, they don't have that luxury, my brother. The affairs of the state, they don't give you that kind of, you'll be sleeping 8 hours in a day. So God looked at them and said, Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking for. He said, I know what you are asking for. And I'm saying you don't just get such things like that. You have to be prepared. That's why the prosperity of God tends to come slowly. God is not in a hurry. He said, my plan is to do you good at the end. Go and study that from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I made you hungry. Then I fed you with manna. After all of this, he said, you know why I was going through all of that? I was teaching you. I was testing you to see what's in your heart. Because it's only when I have put the proper things in your heart that I will be able to bless you at the end. There's no need to hurry for blessings. Are you getting my point? Look, I've said there's nothing wrong with desires. It's how you are going to get it that is the issue. You are following my point. I just find it hard to leave that thing. I'm just going over it again and again. I believe it's very important. Now, but what I said I want to teach about today amongst those gates is what I call my own version, the way I understand the scriptures on the miracle of seed faith. I have not been able to accept and relate with that thing that people try to teach me, that if I need something, I should give towards it. I believe that if I need something, notice the word, I need something for myself, what I need to do is to ask God for it. And what God does is, He shows you, there are many ways He goes about it. He can just give you something that just drops at your door, or tells you what to do, or sometimes He just tells you really don't need it and gives you the wisdom to bypass what you thought was a need. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Okay. But there is a principle I was explaining of when people give and God multiplies. And I meditated about it for a long time. And recently, I put things together. I think I have an understanding I want to share with you today. Entering through the gates of righteousness we're talking about. This is a key to entering into prosperity in anything you want to do. And let me explain this again. Prosperity with God is not to improve your diet. It's not to improve the fabric that you wear. Do you understand my point? Prosperity with God is not to increase your fleet of cars. Peter Daniels, they said a man drives one car at a time and has only one pair of shoes. This is a man who gives out money in tens of millions of US dollars. He's a wealthy man. But he said his mission in life is to see how much money a man can give out in a lifetime and to do something that will impact this world for 300 years if Jesus doesn't come back. Are you getting the point? That's currently pioneering a drive to raise, I've forgotten how many billions of dollars. I've forgotten how many. To use to train people in churches worldwide on financial empowerment. Are you getting my point? This man drives a car and has only one pair of shoes. Now to tell you that, it's not wrong with having three pairs. I'm not saying go and sell all your extra pair of shoes. Please, people should always get the principle or the behind things, all right? Uh-huh. Okay? Drives one car. For information, the car is a Rolls Royce, all right? Uh-huh. No, let's just get it clear. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to say that the guy, of course, is a man that God has blessed. He drives what he finds most comfortable, most most pleasing to his soul. But just to see any reason why you have three of them. You follow my point? All right. Now, so I was explaining that wealth is in Christianity, in the proper teaching of the Word of God, in a life of faith, is not to improve your diet, is not to improve your fabric, is not to increase your fleet of cars. No. Wealth is a responsibility. God looked at Abraham, He said, I will bless you so that you will become a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when I have blessed you, the influence I will give you will make you make people around you blessed. That is, you cannot be in light and those who are around you be in darkness. It does not happen. You understand my point? Those who didn't get their money the proper way, they are the ones that exist like that. You know, they are alone, wealthy. Everybody around them is in darkness. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, they are the ones that steal from people to take to themselves. That is a stealing spirit. A real spirit of prosperity from God, the people around you will notice it. You know, we keep on talking about Henry Ford. We don't ever forget that he was the one that made his workers wealth. Are you getting my point? All right. You know, I bought a book. This one I traveled. The guy just said that this would be good. Your wife would like to read this. 100 women that affected the Christian women. All right. You know, in it again, I was flipping through it. I jumped in there. The Mary Kay Ash again. I said, this woman is just everywhere. And of course, what he was talking about there again was how many women she had made wealthy. That she was rated as one of the top companies in the United States that a woman should work for. That is, if a woman wants to work, say, this company, you have good job security, you have good satisfaction, you have potentials of becoming very wealthy if you work in that company. And that was our dream from the beginning. That is wealth in the gospel of God. Are you getting my point? It's not to eat well and feel fat and stand and say, yes. See, God has blessed me. All of you, the rest of you, didn't obey God. That's why you're suffering like this. Look at you. You know, I'm in the light. All of you are in darkness. No, it's not like that. But when you are in the light, are you following my point? That is, you come into a place like Enugu and you set up a company. People around you work there. You understand? You will not be the gate man and be the CEO at the same time. Between the CEO and the man opening and closing the gates, there are many cadres of people that have to be filled by people who are around. In fact, you know, one thing I believe very strongly, and that's why you should be thinking be thinking. Stop. It's good to start life with jobs and all that, but always consider how many people will be blessed through the thing that I am doing. And let your primary drive be the number of people that will be blessed in the things that you are doing. All right? It's not a matter of what can I get. It's what can I give. You follow what I'm saying? God is a giver and his children must be givers. That is, every time you are thinking in life, what can I give? What can I give? How can I be a blessing to somebody? That must be the driving thing in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now that we have understood that, the question therefore is, we said there are different gates. So what is the gate of righteousness into such a place? That's what we are talking about. What I want to explain today in that regard is how to enter into that kind of wealth, to enter into that kind of satisfaction, to enter into that kind of blessing. I explained something from Psalm 118, that in verse 21 he said, I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. Notice that. That is, it begins, the gates of God begins with a prayer. Are you following my point? That is, I called to God and he answered me. Don't ever forget that. God does not want to ever bless a man to the point that he does not need God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had one of my friends those days, I asked him a question. I said, God has told you to ask for anything now. What will you ask for? I mean, I actually meant that as a student, what are the current things that you would like to have, you know? The guy said, why not? He said, I still remember, I was asking for $2 billion so that I would never have to ask him again. And in my mind, I immediately learned instruction from that his answer. That is why you will never get it. God doesn't want somebody who will never have to ask him again. Are you following my point? Because the gate of God is characterized by the dependence upon God. That is, that gate does not work without God. That is, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they are only mighty through God. You are following the point? That is, they are only mighty through God. And that's what God is trying to achieve. When the man's heart is totally rested upon God, that is, through God, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. That I'm not saying I'm strong in myself. Remember what I said? Samson is a very good example. Samson was not a physically mighty man. If he was, they would not have been asking, what is the source of this your strength? They would have seen it, would have been visible upon him. When they saw Samson, there was nothing striking about his physique. There were many Philistines. Some of the people around him were bigger than him. They knew that something must be there. That is, God is saying that we strengthen you so much, a small man starting a small business, you will be able to take on giant companies. That's what we are talking about. He said, I will give thanks for you have answered me. It is a matter of prayer. That is, when you start anything in life, you commit your way unto the Lord and he will direct your steps. You must never forget that. That is, you recognize, God, if you don't bless me, I'm a failure. You get what I'm saying? That is, in life, what I am looking for is the blessing of God.